God, the true God. Amen. It is a great day because God has given it to us. Amen. It's good to see all of you today. I'm glad that you're here. It's good to have friends from Deming. The Hayes family is here, and also from Albuquerque. It's good to have you with us today. Good to have all of our other visitors and friends and family, the church family. Are you enjoying yourself so far? I hope I don't ruin it. Let's turn to God's Word, the Gospel of John, as we continue in looking at the passages. We've been working our way through the Gospel of John, reading this Gospel and applying it to our daily living. How many of you have been to Carlsbad Caverns here in the southern part of New Mexico? Raise your hand. Maybe I should ask, who has not made it to the Carlsbad Caverns? Well, there's quite a few of you, some of you even locals. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I took my wife there for our honeymoon. I don't think she was impressed. But we were on a very tight budget back in those days, that was the best thing I could think of, get away from the work for 3 or 4 days and then back to it. But anyway, when we had children, when the boys were really small, we also took them to go see the caverns. And of course, those of you who have not been there, let's kind of give you a quick talk about it. It's kind of a long walk down to get down to the entrance to begin with. They've got it all paved so everybody can go there. And then it just kind of just drops off into a switchback and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to get clear down into it. And the further you go, of course, the darker it gets, but they have lighting there for you and so that nobody will trip and fall and stumble over the rocks. And then once you get down inside, you start seeing the different formations that they have lit up, some of them to display the different colors in the rocks. And it's very beautiful, neat, interesting formations. Of course, I don't agree with the millions of years that they have tacked on there with all the descriptions, but that's my opinion against theirs, right? When we look at the biblical record, God has told us that all of this creation is within His time frame. But anyway, you make your way down through there. You drop down to a point where you're 750 feet below the surface where you entered, and you walked all that way. They also have an elevator for those of you who don't want to do that long switchback, that steep walk down through there. If you make your way down through there and read signs fairly quickly and observe and walk your way through, it takes about 2.5 hours. Some people like to spend more time there. Some people, years ago, they used to have a caving tour where you could gear up and have a headlamp on and crawl into some of the places where normal people wouldn't go. Does that mean you're abnormal if you did that? Well, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, they have a large enough section fixed up so that you can enjoy it and go through this caving to the caves and see the huge caverns as well as the small details. And they have several of the stalactites and stalagmites identified with different names that kind of bring up your imagination as you see them. And you get to take an elevator out, okay? You don't have to, you can walk back up the path, but most people take the elevator back out. The caves have many wondrous, incredible, pretty, and inspired formations, but there are also numerous hazards and obstacles, especially if a person decides to leave the path that they have made for you. They've also got that path lit. They'd probably, if you stepped off the path, you'd probably get injured, possibly severely. And if a person is just absolutely outright rebellious and decided to get off the path and go their own way and go down into some of those deeper areas without any lights, without any preparation, what we might say is just being plain stupid, what's going to happen? They're going to get hurt bad and probably end up dead. And so they have signs all over the place, stay on the path, stay on the path. What's the next sign? Stay on the path. So until you get through and enjoy safely the entire experience. The Bible calls this world the domain of darkness because of Satan's influence upon humanity, upon all people since the Garden of Eden. But God promised to send the light of life, that He would come. He would be sent by God, and it would be God's Son, the Savior of humanity. The Savior was going to come into the world, into this place of darkness, and provide for us light. Jesus came to lead us on the path of life and light that pleases God. The path of righteousness that is revealed throughout the Bible, throughout God's Word, the Scripture. Jesus is the Word of God, we are told. We are introduced in the opening of the Gospel of John. He lived by God's perfect guidelines, and He invites all people to follow Him in His light. He is the one that gives us the clear understanding of God's will, if we will follow Him, if we will stay on the path, if we will walk with Him. He is the one who has the light, and we need to stay with Him. Just as we depend upon the physical light to help us, we need Christ's spiritual light to guide us to eternal life with God for eternity. The light of Christ will never dim, and it will never fail. The question is, will we stay in the light? Or are we going to go wandering off and do the dumb thing, the stupid thing? Unfortunately, how many of us have done the dumb and stupid thing? The Scripture says all of us. We've all made bad choices. We thought, well, I can do this on my own. And we find out, no, we can't. So let's stay with Jesus. Let's stay with God. We're going to be looking at this passage in John chapter 8, starting at verse 12 in just a moment. But before we do, let's turn to God and ask for His enlightenment on what we need to learn today. Thank You, Father, for Your love. Thank You for Your patience with humanity. You have every right to destroy us. We have all disobeyed You. Some of us have done a lot of bad stuff. And there are a lot of bad things going on around us. And yet You patiently wait for all who would hear Your voice and all who would have recognized Jesus as Savior to come to You. Father, we pray that if there are any here today who need to make that stronger, that bolder step of faith towards You into the light of Jesus Christ, that they would do so today. But Father, for the rest of us, we also need to draw closer to the light. So help us to find something in this passage, in this Scripture. Let Your Spirit move in our hearts and guide us to further understanding, further commitment to You. Thank You for Your Scriptures. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your love. And thank You for a Redeemer who has given His all for us. We pray in the name of that Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read the passage. John chapter 8, verses 12, going down through verse 20. I won't speak directly to all of these verses, but they all relate to the passage. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not come. So as we look at this, I'm kind of looking more towards the end verses that we just read as we start this message. Those who reject God's will enter the dark pathway. Those who reject God are going to enter the dark pathway. One of the many qualities of God is that He is light, the very source of all light, including physical and spiritual. We go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God said, Let there be light. And He's talking about the physical light of this universe that we experience. Later on, making them this light into the sources of the sun, the moon, the stars that we look at and experience today. To leave God results in rejecting His gifts of illumination in this life and in eternity. One of the statements of the gospel of not the gospel, but 1 John is God is light. God is light. He is the source, physically, spiritually, all types of light, and we need to draw near to Him. So we see in the Scripture that God wants us to accept His words, which are like light. The Psalms uses the analogy extensively, as well as other passages of Scripture, but looking at Psalms, Psalm chapter 4, verse 6 says, Many are saying, Who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Psalm 18, verse 27-28 says, For you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. The one that a lot of people memorize is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Sandy Patty, not Sandy Patty. Oh, got the wrong author there. Can't think of her name now. Wrote a song. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. It was very popular back in the 70s. Oh, I'm getting back to the old history there. But I can't think of her name. Okay, moving on. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. The first part says, For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And we can go through the Scripture passage after passage, refers to God's Word, God's truth, God's very blessing, His presence as what? Light. It is what we are to pursue. Those things which are outside of that are the darkness. The Bible identifies disobeying God as living in darkness. Isaiah foretold God's wrath on Israel and the other corrupt nations around them. Back in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 through 22, using this analogy, this terminology. Verse 19 through 22 reads in Isaiah chapter 8, "When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? In the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." Dawn, you're mentioned there. "They will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished. And it will turn out when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness." You turn your back on God, all you have left is what? Darkness. And the nation of Israel had turned their back on God, and the further they went away from God, the deeper they got into darkness. The next few verses are the passage which Brother Ted read in our opening, that God foretold a day when the light was going to come. Isaiah chapter 9, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light," that it would come. Where would that light show up? Verse 1 says it will show up in the Galilee of the Gentiles. Where did Jesus begin his ministry? In Galilee of the Gentiles. God foretold hundreds of years before Jesus came exactly where Jesus would begin his ministry, and that his words were the light of God. They were God's words. The authors of the New Testament identified Jesus over and over again as that light. Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and following in his gospel letter. In Matthew chapter 4, you find these words repeated from Isaiah's prophecy. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, the opening of John's gospel, he writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And our text proves this. Jesus is talking about himself being the light of the world, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those leaders who were against him, they said, "Who do you think you are?" And if they had just listened to what he was saying, they could have looked back to their Old Testament and seen how Jesus was fulfilling all of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. But would they accept that? No. They were too ingrained in their own sin, which leads us to the next part of this message. All people must travel through this dark world. How many people do you know have to get the privilege of living on a spaceship someplace and live their entire life there or on some other planet? We don't know of anybody like that. If you know of somebody like that, please let me know. In fact, the news media probably wants to know about these people. All humanity has to live in this world, a very corrupt world. It's a dark world. Sin all around us. Many who saw Jesus were blinded by their sinful lives. The grip of corruption was so powerful that they preferred their sinfulness over being around Jesus. Whenever they got close to Jesus, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't handle it. They got away from him because it was too much. Some people love darkness more than the light. The grip of corruption was so powerful, more than their love for God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, we are warned as Christians to overcome the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. But most people in the world get trapped in these, the things that please the eyes, the things that please their desires, in getting more stuff of the world. You remember the story, how many moving vans do you see behind a hearse? None. You can't take it with you. The pharaohs built these marvelous structures and filled them with treasures. And those treasures stayed there, didn't they? Until somebody came along and stole it. You can't take this world with you. And yet people will accumulate to themselves all the things of the world thinking, I've got this. This is what's the answer to life. And it's not. And John the Apostle warns us, watch out for that lust. Watch out for that greed. Watch out for that corruption. It is not God's plan for you. We need to focus our life on the love of God through Jesus Christ. Multitudes of people around us stumble in darkness and they die. They are hurt, they're depressed, they're frustrated. They try to find their satisfaction through drugs, through work, through money, through entertainment, even religion. Many people want other people to meet their needs, their emptiness within themselves. They want you to give to them and to keep giving because they don't want to make the effort. And that is so sad. We are to have a love and a compassion for people and try to reach out to them and encourage them and help in those times when they have a definite need. But God has given all of us abilities, gifts, talents to use to develop for His glory. And we are warned in Scripture, you know, the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, you who don't work don't get to what? Eat. So we have a responsibility as people in God's eyes that we become accountable. But when somebody is sick and in need, they're injured, they have a desperate need, their house is burned down like the hurricanes and the tornadoes, we need to reach out in the love of Christ and do what we can to help those people who have lost everything. But what about those people who we see day after day and they don't make any efforts to help themselves? Do we continue to give to them? That's a challenge we need to deal with one-on-one. You can't give an answer to all of those needs in one answer. Some people, though, just like to live off your generosity. And we have to guard ourselves to falling into that trap. They look at every option except for the hand of their Creator reaching out to them and saying, let me show you a new way. Jesus is the light that all people are required to follow. All people. He's the only one who has the light. No other Savior. We see this in the last part of verse 12. That all who follow Jesus are shown the right path to live. Let's be sure we are walking in that path. The Apostle Paul testified about his faulty religious lifestyle. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, and other passages, that in spite of his extreme religious beliefs as a Jew, he had been walking in darkness. He thought he had the right answer, but he didn't. He found himself rejecting the very Messiah, the light. And he was living in the domain of Satan, in hatred, and corruption, destruction. And that wasn't God's plan. Jesus finally had to blind him with his light to wake him up. When we accept Jesus, he enlightens us with his truth. Paul encourages Christians in their pursuit of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. He says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. God is good to us. He gives us hope through Jesus Christ. Another cave that I visited when I was young was the Lewis and Clark Caverns in Montana. I don't know if any of you have been to that one. Back in the day when I visited, the park ranger led us through with a lantern, an actual little gas lantern. And we walked down the path, and boy, if you're very far back in the line, it kind of got dark back there. And I was kind of in the back end. So you had to really keep your eyes on where the ranger was walking. And you could see other groups way off in the distance, little tiny light floating around, kind of like floating in the black darkness. Anyway, he takes us down through there in the tour, and part of the tour, he actually turns the light out. And experience total darkness. You can see anything. And then fortunately, he had a lighter that lit it back up. How you get out of that place? Well, they don't take you back up to the entrance. They take you to a tunnel that they had dug through the rock, the side of the mountain. And that tunnel is several hundred feet long. And when you first start down the tunnel, all you see is a little tiny speck of light far, far ahead. And it's a hole cut in the door. And so you keep aiming yourself towards that light, and you finally reach this door, open it up, and there's bright sunlight outside at the level of the parking lot. Oh, finally out of there. Out of the darkness. And it's so relieving. It was to me anyway. And I don't know, maybe you like to wander around in the darkness, but it was a blessing to be out of the darkness into the light again where you could see. In the same way, Jesus is our rock of salvation, that we need to come to salvation through the rock, Jesus, following his light, that he is the door to eternity, everlasting life. I thought that was pretty neat. To think about Jesus, how he is, fits into that experience of my life. Leading to the last thought of this message, Jesus gives us power to overcome the dark world. He promises power in verse 12 and several other passages of Scripture in through the book of the Gospel of John, the book Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We need to read those passages. God leads us like that park ranger with that little lamp through the darkness of our world. Jesus taught his disciples to walk with him in the light. In John chapter 12, verse 35 and following, he proved to the disciples his authority by all the miracles that he was performing, all of the powerful acts, his power over nature, and ultimately his resurrection from the grave. How many people do you know have been coming back to life after they've been dead, after a torture, after a mutilation of their body? It doesn't happen. And yet Jesus showed that he had that power, the power of resurrection, and he's promised that for us as well. Jesus makes all of his followers the light of the world. You are the light, Jesus said. Shine, is what he says in the Gospel of Matthew. As we serve him, as we honor him, we need to be light to the people who are stumbling around us, who are still lost, wandering in sin. The more that we obey Jesus, the more we're going to think like Him, the more we're going to act like Jesus, the more we're going to talk like Jesus and about Jesus and live for our Heavenly Father who is the light. Remember that when Moses spent time up on the mountain receiving the commandments and all the law, and then he came back down off the mountain, he literally glowed with the glory of God. And people were startled because they saw him glowing. We need to glow with God. People need to see as they are around us that there's something different about them, a goodness, and that they should want to learn about Jesus from us. Are you going to glow with God? Go with God and you will glow with God. Jesus gives us His armor to withstand Satan's attacks on us. That armor is the Word of God. It's Scripture. As the more we apply Scripture, the more we learn Scripture, we will be more like God. We will be protected more against the powers of Satan and the deception of Satan. The light of God's Word reveals sin and corruption, and the devil and his cohorts hate that light, and anything that is of evil will flee from the light. So let's learn more Scripture and be safe walking in God's path. Scripture recharges our spiritual batteries. How many of you like that Ever-Ready battery commercial with the bunny up there? He just keeps going and going. We need to be Christians that just keep going and going and going because we are supercharged with God's Word, the light of life. Will we be? It depends on how much time we spend in the Scripture. It depends how much time we apply to learning the resource manual. Anytime you get some new mechanism, you take time to learn, well, how is this thing supposed to work? How many of you have read your car manual? They come out with a new model, and they've got all kinds of these new gadgets and things. How is that supposed to work? Are you like me, and you just kind of throw up your hand and say, well, I'll figure it out another day? Yeah? Well, God has given us His Word. We're not supposed to just throw up our hands and say, I'll figure it out another day. We may not have another day, friends. We need to learn what God has for us now. And He's written into, some of it is hard to understand. The Old Testament, how many of you got all the Old Testament law memorized? I better put my hand down, sorry. There's a lot there, isn't there? But the longer we spend with God's Word, the more it will make sense, and the more it will become part of us. Let's take time to read. Let's take time to study. Let's take time to share God's Word together so that we can all be supercharged in living for Jesus Christ, the Lord of life and the Lord of light. If you claim Jesus as your Lord, you entered into a battle. Make sure you got the armor on. The Word of God. It's the armor of light. And it will drive Satan's darkness away. You'll be safe in God's Word. Those of you who haven't made your commitment to Jesus, I want to invite you. I want to encourage you. Remember, Jesus is the only Savior. And it is only Jesus who will offer you perfect eternal life when He comes again. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you have nothing. Nothing. Give your life to Jesus, and He'll start carrying you through and giving you abilities and insight that you never had before. But you've got to trust Him. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the light coming into the world and illuminating the darkness. We thank you that because of Jesus, we have hope, we have promise, we have the assurance of an eternity with you. We may suffer, we may endure hardships in this life, but you have promised us that just like Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise to everlasting life in a perfectly new body that will never suffer again, to be with you. Encourage us. Let us be bold witnesses. Let us honor and glorify you in this dark world. Use us according to your plan, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.